This is Demi Bennett here. Now listen to this sick ass podcast,
which is called
Wrestle Radio
Australia.
Australia.
This is FNX.
Oh yeah.
G'day, this is Big Brody Marshall.
This is Brian Alvarez.
This is Debbie Bennett here. Now listen to this sick-ass podcast.
Hello, doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Mac Grim Basso.
This is the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett.
This is the Jurassic Punk, Sid Parker. Don't worry, just panic.
This is Mean Dean Olsen.
This is the loosest in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Charlie Evans.
This is Scrapland Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome to WRA. Josh Armour here. Thank you very much for checking out the show, whether it's on fnx.network, iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn Radio. But of course, we really do want you to head over there and support fnx.network. Hit us up on Twitter while you're listening at WrestleRadioAU. Give us your feedback and your thoughts. And also, we are on Facebook, of course. Just search Wrestle Radio Australia. So today, one of the more controversial figures in Australian wrestling at the moment, thanks to a little group known as the Bullet Click, I am talking about Wayne the Maniac Matty. He's had some time off from wrestling over the last few years, but he is back. A lot of people talking about the Bullet Click, for obvious reasons, of course, and we're going to get to all that stuff. I've had him waiting for the past week to get on here. He's hungry, he's ready to podcast, so look out. And if you want to hear me do a bit of commentary and ring announcing on a live wrestling show, check out Riot City Wrestling's Rites of Passage. You can find that at vimeo.com/Riot City Wrestling, and what a hell of a show it was. Great tag team tables match, mask versus mask, with a little caveat on that, and as well, the main event saw Big Brody Marshall versus Chris Basso, world class Chris Basso, with WRA's Todd Eastman in his corner, of course. So you can check that out, just $6 right there. And of course, WRA's Sean Fuster on the commentary desk as well. You can hear Tyler Daniels, who was on a recent episode of WRA. You can check that one out. And July 30, it goes down again at the Latvian Hall in Wavell, South Australia. Big Brody Marshall defends the title against TMDK's Jonah Rock. I can't wait to call that. That's going to be amazing. Get your tickets at riotcitywrestling.com/tickets. And Wrestle Radio Australia is brought to you every month by not just FNX.network, but also the great folk at Wrestle Merch Printing, who have a rad deal going at the moment through till July 25th. 25 AS colour tees, 2 colour print for $405. That is Australian promoters and wrestlers. 2 colour print, 25 tees, $405. Or take advantage of the WRA special for this month. Mention Wrestle Radio Australia when you message the Wrestle Merch Printing Facebook page. 30 AS colour tees, 1 colour print for $400. Follow in the footsteps of folks like the world beater Damian Slater. He trusts in Wrestle Merch Printing. He's over there competing for the WWE Cruiserweight Classic, which you can see on the network. $9.99, all that jazz. TMDK, the TM61 logo you see on NXT, that was designed by Wrestle Merch Printing, as was our cover art. Now, being based in Adelaide, South Australia, you will have to pay for postage if you are indeed interstate, but hey folks, get onto it. Aussie wrestlers, promoters, 25 AS colour tees, 2 colour print, $405, or mention Wrestle Radio Australia and get 30 AS colour tees, 1 colour print, $400. Hit up Wrestle Merch Printing on Facebook, send them a private message, they'll give you a quote on the work that you need done. Thank you, Wrestle Merch Printing, for sponsoring Wrestle Radio Australia and supporting Aussie wrestling. And this week, not just that Butts in Seats special that I uploaded a couple of days ago, and this episode, we've also got a new Axe cast with Mike Altamura, host of On The Mic. He's a boxing manager. He's been involved with professional wrestling. And I've had a preview listen so far of the episode. First of all, they recorded in actual radio studio, so I didn't have to touch up the recording. I just, bang, I'm going to chuck the music on there and off we go. So enjoy that one, folks. They really get into some really cool, interesting topics. No holds barred whatsoever. And it's really a cool listen. So that's going to go on out. That's going to be going out there back to back with this very episode. So you guys are spoilt this week for podcasts. We're taking care of you, don't worry. All right, a little break here and a word from FNX.network, and then the maniac, Wayne Matty, is here. Whew, look out.
FNX. I'll buy my song and I won't...
Shoot the Defence is the opinionated, entertaining football show with serious debates you're looking for. We have a variety of guests, from ex-footballers to journalists, members of parliament to athletes. Every month, former Chelsea, Swansea and Brighton striker Leon Knight weighs in with his opinions on night vision. So tune in on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, ShootTheDefence.com and the FNX Network, and let Stel, John, Mike and Stuffy give you a free football lesson. Follow us on Twitter at ShootTheDefence.
Alrighty folks, the time has come, and as I said at the top of the show, I have been making him wait. And wait, and now he is, it's like letting a bear out of his cage. Please welcome, folks, founder of the Bullet Click and one of the biggest blokes you'll see in a wrestling ring in Australia, Wayne the Maniac Matty. Thanks for jumping on the show, dude.
Thank you for having me, mate.
Now, we got to start off with the Bullet Click. It's people, it's made their heads turn, let's face it. And you guys are really getting a bit of a fan base up in Queensland, which is really, really cool. First of all, how was the idea conceived, you know, between yourself and obviously the Giant Coyote? And what do you sort of, is there something that you really want to achieve with Bullet Click in the long run? Or are you guys just having fun sort of and seeing how long it lasts?
Yeah, sure. All right, well, look, let me correct you at the start there. Our fan base actually spans Australia-wide, not just Queensland, surprisingly enough. We do have quite a bit of a fan base and support up here in Queensland, but the Giant Coyote and myself have travelled to Melbourne and wrestled. We've been to Sydney and wrestled. I will be off to Adelaide next weekend to wrestle as well. Plus, we have connections in Perth. We're all over the shop, mate, and... It's gone a lot bigger, and it's become a lot bigger, a lot faster than we ever thought of. It's surprising. From something that was so small that we thought about and what we thought we'd do to what it is now, it's just blown all of our minds together, you know. It's, look, it's no short deal. We're happy to run this as long as we can. We'd like to grow it as big as we can. So we just have to wait and see and see what happens with it, I guess.
I mean, the obvious parallels are between, of course, the Bullet Club, but I think the idea of the Bullet Click is, I mean, let's face it, in a way, you're kind of taking the piss out of the whole thing, really, and just having some fun, because when you think about it, the Bullet Club is a piss take, if you like, on the Click, on the NWO, the Two Sweep, all of that stuff. So really, it's kind of, it's an ironic look, I think, at that whole sort of culture of it. So I think it's quite, I would say not funny and not clever, but it's kind of, it's just funny how people have like jumped on it straight away. It's like, oh, you guys are, it's like, hang on. If you're a fan of the Bullet Club, you're kind of a fan of a parody or a copy, if you like, you know what I mean? A tribute to the past. I don't know. What do you say to those people that want to poo-poo it based on that solely?
Oh, mate, look, you've nailed it on the head. Look, the Bullet Club is a rip-off of a rip-off of a rip-off. And we put a meme online when we first come out, and it stipulated that we don't claim to be original. We are a rip-off of a rip-off of a rip-off, but we don't give a shit because we're still going to kick your ass. As simple as that.
That's it. And that's the thing with guys like you and Coyote especially, with the size of yours. There'd be a lot of folks that want to say something on Facebook and on Twitter, but then, hi, how you going? Like, you know, oh, that's a cool T-shirt. Jeez. I might grab one on the way out.
Look, don't forget the spaceman that's with us now. This boy is jacked. He's 6'3" and 115 kilos. The boy is in shape. He's a machine and he hits harder than a Besser brick. So you add him in the mix with me and the giant Coyote. It's a lethal team. And, yeah, you're right. T-shirts are flying out the door, mate. We've just got our second run of 60 T-shirts had to be made up because we sold out the first night that we put our T-shirts
nice.
Out.
That's what you want. I mean, in this day and age, that's where not just wrestlers but bands, you know, that's where they're making, like, the bulk of their cheddar these days is through merchandising and that sort of thing. So it's, like, that's the way to sort of, you know, if you guys aren't doing the insane amount of bookings around Australia every week and stuff, you can sort of supplement your career in a way through the merch. It's very clever.
Of course we can. And, I mean, marketing is a big part of it. When I was on my own as the Maniac, for years I marketed myself, and I used to sell $1,200 worth of merch at night wherever I was. I'd have pictures, I'd have lanyards, I'd have three or four different style T-shirts, I would have bar mats, stubby holders, everything you could possibly think of that a fan would want, and I would sell a ton of it. Now, with the group, the Bullet Click, I was the creator of the logo. That is 100% originally owned logo of myself, that a young man in Melbourne by the name of Tone Filipowski helped me create. So for people to turn around and go, you've ripped off the logo, you've ripped off the... It is absolutely nothing like the Bullet Club's logo. It's similar, but it's extremely different. But the point of it is that we own it, and we can do whatever the hell we want, but then we don't give a crap what anyone thinks.
And let's face it, a black and white only T-shirt makes it a lot bloody cheaper to get a heap of them printed up. You know what I mean? So, like, you got to look at it from that angle as well of, hey, what's going to be cost effective here and what are people going to dig at the same time, you know? Like,
We're not selling a Rainbow Bride fucking T-shirt here. We're a black and white Bullet Click shirt. Simple as that. Cost effective as well. That's exactly right. Maximize profit and make some money. It's very simple.
Now, your earlier days as a, you know, as a wrestler, I mean, I remember when I was, and I've documented on the show many times, was just finding out about Australian wrestling would have been mid to late 2006. And so I was going to the Clovelly Park Wrestle Rampage, you know, EPW Adelaide shows.
EPW Adelaide, yep.
Oh, yeah, I was there, don't worry. And, and it was, I remember, I think it may have been the second show that I went to where all of a sudden, out comes this big jacked up bastard to save the day. And that was you. And then from then on, it was kind of this thing where, like, people were hanging for Maniac to come out. You were sort of the, the guardian angel type of character. You know what I mean? And that was really sort of cool. How did you get in? Obviously, you were doing security first and then that sort of, it led from there. But, how did being on shows come about? And also the reaction, how did that feel the first time you got that reaction from a crowd?
Yeah. Well, look, what had happened was I owned a security company at the time back then, and Harley Jackson came into our business looking for security for his event. And I had no idea at the time about Australian wrestling or anything, but I was a massive WWE, WWF fan from about 5 years old. I could blame my father for that. Jag come in and said to me, we need security for the show. Can you help us out? And of course, my ears pricked up. I said, absolutely. I said, I'll even work the show myself because I'm a massive wrestling fan. Excuse me. So long story short, we worked a couple of shows. Jag and myself had a bit of a chat and a talk. He took me under his wing and, took me into a few trainings and so on. And they introduced me through the fact that, they brought Mark Aston in, the Channel 10 sports reporter from the news. And at that time, Mark was getting, I think, the shit kicked out of him by Jag and having inside the ring after a, I think it was a
a hardcore match or something. The ring was littered with thumbtacks, pins, barbed wire. There was crap everywhere.
That was the days when it was all like the main events were like Jag, Slater, Cooper, Jason Cooper.
Yep. Jason Cooper.
Yep.
Mate, all top names, all tremendous lads, all amazing athletes. I mean, look at Damian Slater at the moment in the Cruiserweight tournament in the US. That's just sensational.
But
that's how they brought me in. I came out there and saved the day with Mark and so on, and then it just progressed from there. That, of course, I was this big monster guy that used to come out and kick the crap out of everyone. Look, granted, I was no Bret Hart then, and I am no Bret Hart now. I'm no technical wrestler by no means. So I'm a person that'll come out there and smash your face in, and that's it. Simple as that. I'm not going to put you in a headlock or a wrist lock, and I certainly don't, you know, put my hand up to say that I can do chain wrestling or anything. That's not me. And the crowd doesn't want to see me do that. They just want to come and see me just pick somebody up and drop them on their head and destroy them. So.
Well, that's where I've spoken to guys like Mike Massive from EPW Perth and the guys that are, I mean, that is the appeal. That is the, that's the factor that they bring to a show is here's this guy who is larger than life. I mean, you sort of want to protect that image and that piece of the puzzle that you can bring to a show. You know what I mean? So like, that's the sort of thing where, yeah, I want to see Wayne the Maniac going out there and power bombing dudes and choke slamming guys and wreaking havoc. That's what it's all about.
Oh, exactly. You don't want to see me, you know, sitting on the mat with a guy in a headlock for a rest spot and roll around on top of him and work my way to a front face lock or anything like that. I'm going to throw the fucker into the crowd, grab a bin and smash it over his head.
Now,
that's real simple. And that's what the crowd love. That's what they want to see. It's why my name is called The Maniac, because I'm just going to do crazy shit. It's as simple as that.
I'll get you to turn about 90 degrees because your reception's just dropping out a little bit.
There we go. How about I do a handstand as well?
Oh, there. Yes, a bit of somersault with Pike. That would be beautiful. And on that note of the, the fitness sort of note, bodybuilding, what sort of drew you to thinking like, right, I want to get huge? Because when I was a kid, right, I was always the fat kid. And then I got picked on and bullied a lot. And then finally, you know, when I got a bit older, I sort of like, geez, it'd be really good to sort of to get into shape. And of course, health-wise, I had no choice but to. Then I sort of got to a point where, you know, back troubles and I couldn't lift and do things like that anymore, which I don't know about you, but it's such a pain in the ass when you can't lift anything. And then that's all you want to do is lift stuff. Like it's, it's really brutal. Yeah. But yeah, when did you get sort of attracted to that whole lifestyle?
It was high school. It's funny you should mention the fat kid in school. I was the short little fat kid in school as well. I used to get the shit kicked out of me on a daily basis. You know, at lunchtime we were playing football, the kids, you know, kicked the crap out of me. I remember a young man in school deciding that I was sitting in the wrong seat in biology because he wanted to sit next to this pretty girl that was my lab partner, and he turned around and smacked me in the face and broke my nose because I was a short little fat kid. And that was kind of the turning point for me that, like, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. So funny enough, I started martial arts first. I started martial arts when I was about 14, 15, managed to gain my black belt. And then at age, I think it was 15 or 16, I started training weights in the gym with my dad and continued on from there. And then I started to get serious with the weight training. Excuse me, up until a point when I think it was about 19. And I decided to compete my first bodybuilding contest. And I ended up winning Junior Mr. South Australia in my first shot.
Wow.
And, of course, after that, I was like, holy shit, this is pretty good, you know. Plus, too, I was bouncing at the time. So when I first started bouncing, I was 18. Still wasn't as big as what I was when I first competed. But it was all right. But still, you know, you'd have the guys want to test you out and so on. But after my first contest, then, you know, people started looking and, I don't know if I want to try that guy or not. So then I competed a second time, won Junior Mr. South Australia for the second time within 6 months, which is unheard of. Not too many guys compete in 6 months. They take a year off. I come back within 6 months and won the title again. And then ended up going to the US to see a couple of the American pro shows and go to the World Gym Expo in Columbus, Ohio. I met Arnie officially and stuff like that. So it was quite good, but it did a lot for my self-esteem. Which was a good thing. But look, it's hard work on the body. I'm 42 years old now, so can you imagine? I started training when I was 15. I'm still training now at 42, riddled with injuries from wrestling, bodybuilding, bodyguard work, security work, everything. But it doesn't stop me. It's in my blood, and that's where it'll be.
Yeah, because some folks would look at someone your size and, you know, especially pulling up after a 15-20 minute main event match. Some folks, like especially fans who aren't as smart or haven't sort of gone through the training and whatnot, would think like, oh, geez, well, he'd pull up all right because he's a big, muscly bloke. But at the same time, like that next morning, you have to carry all of that weight, and that's got to be a struggle as well.
Oh, it is. Look, I'm close to 130 kilos again now, you know. So for me, on the following day of the show, I feel like I'm 60. I look like I'm 60 when I walk through the airport when I'm flying home. I've worked for the WWE for 16 years. I tour with them. I've done over 20 tours with them. The following morning after a show, you see the boys, I don't care how young they are or whatever, they walk exactly the same. It's a massive toll on your body regardless of how big you are. And they are. That true top professionals get to pay a lot of money, and they're working a lot harder than what I am.
Yeah, except they don't get to go to Macca's and then go home and sleep in on a Sunday. They have to go and do it all over again the next bloody day, you know? Like,
we push them on the tour bus, we kick their ass, we get back to the hotel, they go into catering at the hotel, and then we put them into bed, and then we wake them up at something like 4:30 in the morning to tear them out and get them on the bus to go to the airport again.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
So how did that come about, getting the gig with the Fed? And then also, I guess, with UFC, did that come through, I know, Ringside Sports at the time, I think it was sort of dealing with a lot of the big Australian tours for the American promotions. But how did it all come about?
No, look, absolutely nothing to do with Ringside Sports. Look, I work with them now, and I work with those lads, and they're fantastic. They know their job, and they know their stuff. They're great. But no, what had happened was, about 16 years ago, I had a security company from New South Wales contact me about seeing if we could assist with security at the airport in Adelaide for when the WWE arrived for one of their shows. And, of course, hearing what it was, I'm going, yep, absolutely, no worries. put my own hand up to go ahead and do it as well. And then when I met the head guy in charge, they invited me to tag on the bus, go to the show, work backstage for them and so on, and they were impressed with what I did and so on, and it just completely transpired from there. And, you know, speed up to current day now, I travel overseas and do a lot of tours overseas for them as well. I do a lot of Asia stuff. I do a whole lot of stuff for them. You'd be surprised at some of the stuff I do. With the UFC, it was just through a different connection within Sydney. I do a ton of work it was known as the All Phones Arena. I can't remember what it's called now. It's had the name changed. But they knew of my background and what I did with WWE. I was always in and out of there when they had the tours. So they got me to take care of some of the athletes like Michael Bisping. I looked after Mark Hunt for a while, and certainly did the cage walks on the show. So if you ever watch some of the shows from Sydney, you'll see my big mug at the back left-hand side behind the fighter.
Oh, yeah, don't worry. I remember especially the first show that they did in, I think it was the first Australian show was Sydney, like UFC 110 or something like that. And sure enough, main event, I'm like, oh, that's Maniac. That's Wayne.
There you go.
Like, what the heck?
That's
and,
right.
then, and then, you know, following on, later tours, like actually, what I do want to ask you about with the WWE tours and the interactions with, you know, fans and the wrestlers themselves, because I know that a young girl by the name of Bethany, who comes to a lot of the Riot City, or basically every Riot City wrestling event, and she's a big fan of Emma, and I remember when she met Emma on the tour, I think it was last year or the year before. All over social media were the photos of her with Emma Tennille, as you'd probably know her, and you were there sort of at the signing or the meet and greet or whatever, and you could see sort of you in the background just sort of looking, smiling, and what are some really cool things you've seen backstage from some of the, you know, the superstars like that? Where
it was I actually remember that girl too. I think she was like hugging Emma like crazy. I think it was in Melbourne or Sydney, because we didn't take Emma to Adelaide, but she managed to travel to see Emma, and Emma even recognised her and said, this is like my biggest fan ever.
She's always sending her care packages of Tim Tams and Vegemite, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah, no. And look, Emma appreciates that and does mention that from time to time. So, yeah, she knew of her straight away. So, and that's where the superstars are so appreciative of their fans. And, you know, without them, they're not anything. So, they need to make sure that they can have that interaction with the fans and so on. I'm just here to make sure that nothing goes sideways. I certainly wouldn't keep a fan like that away from them whatsoever. You know, that's a person they look up to, and also the talent need to have those people to support them as well. I'm just there to make sure that everything stays the way it should be and so on. So
there haven't been any incidents like, you know, Chris Jericho in a car park, you know, being threatened and almost beaten up. There's been nothing nothing like that at all where you've really earned your paycheck that day sort of thing?
And not when I'm around, so maybe that says how good I do. Well,
there you go, you see. It's not not like the British tour or the European tour where, you know, they've had people invade the ring numerous times.
See, I don't do the European tour. That's exactly right. I don't do the European tour. So that's what I said to the boys that were permanent WWE staff in America. I said, maybe you should bring me over there and you wouldn't have those invasions.
That's it. In fact, the tour director's sort of seeking out the right personnel for these things. You know, well, everything would be fine.
You never know. Maybe you should think about that.
There'd be no money in the bank briefcases hitting Roman in the noggin, that's for sure, if you were around.
No. Well, having said that, remember, I think that was launched from the crowd and then it hit him. I'm not sure if the guy even breached the barrier and invaded the ring, but he sent it over the top. I mean, some of the fans do some crazy stuff. I remember when we were on tour, we were in Perth, and the night that we had our show, they were in... Don't quote me, it could have been South Africa, I'm not sure. A guy breached the barrier, invaded the ring, and he nutshot Randy Orton while he was on the second row.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. We heard that the next day because everyone's talking about it, and they're like, oh my God. And then, of course, Orton's sold it, but then he's got up and looked and gone, hold on, and then he's just kicked the crap out of the guy.
That was the funny part at first because he obviously thought that. Yeah, it was his opponent ribbing him or something, you know what I mean? Being a main event or something. Actually, no, he was a... I can't remember if he was babyface or heel, but that is...
No, he's babyface. Okay,
There we go. There we go.
That's the thing, they don't realise these guys are professional athletes. You know, they think they do fake wrestling, they do fake fighting, and Jesus Christ, Brock Lesnar's proved that wrong last weekend. You know, these people need to understand that these are full-time athletes that have. They are strong, they are mean, and they can certainly hand themselves. They're no prissy, but, you know, if they get a slap across the face, they're going to go have a cry. That's not what these men are about. These men are machines. So are the women.
And you've done a fair bit of stuff in, you know, movies and film roles and stuff like that. When was the first sort of role? Like, did you get noticed? Like, somebody saw you and went, hey, this guy'd be perfect? Or was it the sort of thing where you went, all right, I could do some extra work, I'll audition for stuff? Like,
No, I got exposure in the Advertiser newspaper, which is a major paper, as you know, in Adelaide. It was back in 2007, I think, November 2007. They were doing the tryouts for the Gladiators. And I went to, I believe it was Etzer Park, and I tried out for one of the Gladiators. And what had happened, the Advertiser had seen me and grabbed me and took a photo of me with some young lady. And it was like on the second page of the Advertiser talking about the tryout. I think it was something along the lines of Beauty and Brawn on stage or something like that. Having said that, I made it pretty much all the way through. But what had happened was that ended up in the newspaper. And then an agent, a pretty top-name agent, Natalie, by the name of Angela Heaston, got in touch with me and said, we love the way you look. We need some info on you. So it kind of happened from there. And then I think my first movie role came through Angela, which was Broken Hill, the movie, which was with the girl from Spy Kids and some other lad. I can't remember who it was. It was some time ago.
What's the vibe amongst, you know, people who are really trying to seek out work in film and television? Because, I mean, I can imagine in Australia how hard it even would have been 15, 20-odd years ago when the biggest hurdle was getting funding for projects and then being able to actually seek out talent for those projects. Now it's the fact that you've got all the reality television and all those sort of gimmicks really taken up, you know, the majority of the airspace. What is the vibe like? I mean, do you just hang out for does someone in Australia just hang out for that work here? Or is, I mean, is that the reason why we've seen so many Aussies really head to LA and then make a name for themselves overseas, because the work is there and there's bugger all here? What's the vibe amongst that sort of community?
Well, look, it depends. You need to get yourself a pretty good agent to start with. And obviously up here in Queensland, it makes it a hell of a lot easier if you want to get into the movie industry with Movie World and so on here. Especially with them now doing a lot of the Marvel movies up here in Queensland, it makes it, the door is pretty much open for anyone if they want to attempt to try and get in movies, as long as they have the right agent to put them forward. That's the main thing about it. You know, going over to the US and so on, the market is so saturated with Aussies and so on, you certainly need something that's going to make you stand out. You just can't go over there and think, well, I've got an Aussie accent, they're going to love me, and then they're going to pick you for a role. It's not like that. It's cutthroat over there. So I'm quite happy staying where I am here in Queensland. I get plenty of movie work as it is, you know. My latest one is going to be released soon. It's called Jesus Walks, where I actually played Satan, and I quite enjoyed that. I had over 5.5 hours of movie makeup put on me and so on. I get to kick the crap out of Jesus, so...
I'll tell you what, there's, you know, I mean, like, we're not going to, you know, if you want to hear a debate on religion, hear the Mr. Kennedy episode of Healing Out with Ali Vyas. But, I mean, that's a role that, you know, is like, I get to play Satan. I mean, like, how many people would be just hanging to get that sort of role in any capacity? And then, bang, there you go.
Satan. Exactly. I mean, it goes with one of my monikers, my name, Hell's Vigilante, you know? Look, and then you get to play the man himself. What more do you want?
See, playing the gimmick and
exactly
the gimmick actually getting... I'm trying to work out a funny sort of tie in there, but it's not going to happen. So I'm going to move right along to the Australian Wrestling All-Stars, which you're heading back down to Adelaide for. And I'll be there hopefully calling the action with Wolfie and Paul Roberts. Now, do we know an opponent yet, or are we going to hang out for the announcement on the Oz Wrestling All-Stars Facebook page?
Yeah, look, I haven't been told yet. I think it's best for the Facebook page to advertise it, but I'm definitely there next weekend, the 23rd, and I'm excited. I haven't wrestled in Adelaide in over 4 years. The last time I wrestled there was when I was on my retirement tour, where I wrestled that dude that's not even as big as my left calf muscle, Johnny Raddick, for Christ's sake. I kicked the crap out of him at the St. James Rec Centre. You know, he's been my knot in my neck for God knows how many years. I wrestled for Snake Pit for so many years, and I had this little ferret that used to just nip at my ankles and used to give me, you know, just a pain in my ass. So I've seen that he got advertised tonight, that he's involved in the tournament, so I'm hoping that they're going to put me in the tournament. Like, there's a lot of great guys. Elliot Sexton, I think he was advertised, and he's going to be in there tonight as well. So I don't know who it's going to be. There's plenty of guys that are on their roster. I see Jonah Rock, Hartley Jackson, Rocky Monero. There's tons of guys there that are quite happy to put my fist through their face. So we'll see.
Well, it is the AWA, the Australian Wrestling All-Stars Champions League Series, season rather, going with a bit of the football theme on that one. And it's a series of, I think, 4 or 5 events. And throughout the course of those, there will be a new first Australian Wrestling All-Stars champion crowned. That's going to be very, very cool to see. Just again, like the last event a couple of weeks back, you know, just the accumulation of talent and all the great personalities getting together, and also backstage, you know, just such a cool vibe backstage. And the JX TV episode is yet to come out for that one with the footage, but that'll be out soon, folks. So you can rest assured, JXT fans, you'll get your... And actually, there was one of the JX team that came down for that show from Melbourne. I think it was Jasmine. I think that's her name. Jasmine was sitting front row. Just ridiculous. Right. So, yeah, good on you, JX team, supporting the folks all over the place. And I'm going to actually bring up the Twitter machine here, because host of the Axe Cast, Mr. Josh Shooter, as always, he loves to get in here and troll the Q&A with these interviews. Oh, mate. It's always a mixed bag. You never really know what you're going to get. So, okay, let's have a look-see here. Jeez, oh, wow, there's a lot. Okay, what is your favorite form of carbs?
Who's my favourite form of car? Who sent that in?
That's from Joshua Shooter. Favourite form
that's
of
Josh
carbs.
Shooter.
Yes, carbohydrates.
Favourite form of carbs, carbohydrates. Look, mate, I don't care. I don't watch my diet. You give me a pizza and a beer, I'll be happy. I don't give a shit. I don't diet. That's just, I'm 42 years old. I don't care now. I am what I am, and I've built what I have. I don't need to diet. I don't need to carb up, carb load, or carb deplete, or water deplete, or anything like that. I'm me, and that's it. Give me a beer and a pizza, I'm happy.
Very cool. There we go. Then, favorite type of pizza? I'll add a dovetail to that.
Favorite type of pizza? Anything apart from seafood.
Apart from seafood?
Yep.
Oh, geez. Well, you and my missus, you could get together and have a seafood hating party, because she's the same way. She's the same way.
Very good.
No prawns even at Christmas time. She gets a ham cocktail. Everyone gets prawn cocktail. She gets ham cocktail. That's just as good, really, when you think about it. Okay, so if you were this is another. The next 6 questions from Joshua Shooter. If you were an ice cream, which flavor would you be?
Jesus Christ, is this boy bored or something, brother? 6 questions from Joshua Shooter.
It's variety. He likes to add some variety, you see.
So if I was an ice cream, I'd get myself and smash it in Joshua Shooter's face. How's that?
There you go. Double waffle cone and all, because they're sharp on the edge. That would hurt, you see.
Exactly right.
Who knew that an ice cream could be used as a deadly weapon?
It depends on if it would poison you if I shove it up your ass.
Painful. Okay, deadlift or squat?
Is this from Josh as well?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, does he know how to do either of them to start with?
Well, I see, that's the thing. I have not watched his form myself.
I won't crucify him. He's come into amazing shape. I remember from what he started from to what he looks like now, so it's a credit to him. But I'll pick deadlift over squat, absolutely.
Yeah, Josh used to be Australian Wrestling's cute, chubby little fat kid. He's like the kid from Hey Dad. You just want to grab his cheeks. Oh, he's a little cutie, aren't you? But now he's like, hello, he's a unit. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, he looks good. I'll give it to him.
Let's see if the Bullet Click could recruit one international. Who would it be?
Excuse me, one international that I could recruit. Jeez.
I think Shooter's just trying to get the inside word so that he can get a citizenship in said country, and then he's going to be joining in. I think that's the gimmick here, but I don't know.
Is he not Australian? Is he?
Oh, he's Australian with ethnic heritage, I'm sure, yes.
Right, okay. Oh, God, look, what international would I like to recruit? You know, I spent some time recently with Seamus in Melbourne and in New Zealand for the PR tour for the August WWE tour coming to Melbourne, Sydney, and Adelaide, and New Zealand. There's a good plug for you. He's a cool dude. Me and him chat all the time. You know what? He's very similar to me. He'll just kick the shit out of you, and he doesn't care about it. If I could, I reckon I'd take him.
There you go. And nice work getting the plug in. Rowan will be happy with that one.
Absolutely.
What is... we'll go this one first. 80s or 90s Sting?
80s or 90s what?
Sting. The Stinger.
Oh, 80s or 90s Sting.
Yes,
okay.
Surfer or Scorpion. Yeah, absolutely. And we've got another one from the Axe before we take it home, yeah.
Jesus, Josh Shooter, I reckon he's got some sort of, you know, one of those strange tendencies in him that he might like men. I don't know. 80s Sting.
The Surfer Sting with the blonde crew cut.
Yeah, I was a big fan of the Crow and all that sort of style that he had, even though it was cool. It wasn't in any way hated, but the Surfer Sting to me was kind of cool. The white flat top, the face paint and so on, and he was jacked as hell, so.
Yeah, when I first saw WCW, would have been a late 80s pay-per-view VHS. That was
VHS,
one of the things that
Jesus.
Stuck out to, oh yeah, man, jeez. Did you grow up in Adelaide?
Yeah, I was born in Adelaide. That's where I come from. So for me, I was before VHS, mate. I was Betamax.
You actually had I think my folks have a Beta machine, but then they end up buying VHS because they found out that, oh, yeah, it's going to be on the way out. We better get a VHS machine, so.
Oh, yeah, we had both. I thought I was the shit. It was good.
My growings up were Let's see. It was first known as Video Star at Pasadena and Movie Land at Ascot Park. They were my havens every weekend for wrestling tapes.
Movie Land at Ascot Park was mine as well, because they always used to have all the WWF videos there. Absolutely.
Snap. Oh, God, how good was it? And after, we're geeking out. I don't care if anyone else is listening now. We're just shooting the shit here now. The Movie Land store, Video Star, then Video Network, then Blockbuster, like, they got the tapes up until about, I think it was 93 or 94, and that's when I was really getting hardcore, as in, like, I was buying the magazines. I knew when the new tapes would be out, and so then Video Star stopped getting them, but then went to Movie Land to see, I wonder if they have wrestling tapes. Do they ever? They had nearly every WWF pay-per-view VHS and a lot of the compilations from the WrestleMania 2 to WrestleMania whatever, like, to that current, the prior month, basically. And it was so amazing.
I used to buy them all. I used to make them order an extra copy when they were coming out, because I made friends with the guy there. And it used to cost me over $100 for each VHS.
That's because they used to pull that on you if you damaged the tape, or if they had to replace it or something. It was always that thing of the fee or the replacement cost was $100. And you see the thing, well, hang on, if I can buy it from Brashers, there you go. There's a great noise reference. Even if I buy, Slamboree 94 from Brashers, it's only costing me $29.95. Why does it cost $100 too? But I don't know if they had extra. They were the ones that had the anti-piracy gimmicks in them, and so I don't know.
No, they were just arseholes.
That's it. We've got to compensate for the next 5 months worth of wrestling rentals that are going to be probably not just us, because that store, they used to get, like, when there was a new one, you had to, I was one of those guys that would ring up and go, okay, I know you're getting due to get this in a couple of weeks. I want it when it comes in.
I bought the original Batman movie from them, the one with Michael Keaton. That cost me over $200 when it first came out.
Far out. Did that have the
VHS video?
Did that have, like, the big case? I remember there was a Batman VHS that came in a big case, no?
Nah, just a shitty cardboard sleeve, that's all it was.
Oh, man, the things we did for our passion.
Exactly.
And still do. Hey.
Yeah, to a certain extent, yeah.
We got one here from, here we go. Scarlett, you're in trouble, Ange. Look out. At Scarlett KPW, at Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson. How do you feel about guys as Bullet Club ripoffs? Well, I think we've already established that, Ange. So,
Ange would have a comment on this. This is very funny. Ange, we don't give a shit. It is as simple as that. It's people like you that have a sook about it. It's not us whatsoever. You know what? There is no fan that I have seen that has come up to us and go, you're a rip-off of the Bullet Club. We don't like you. Every single fan loves the gimmick. It's these marks like Ange, because I'm not going to even call her a wrestler, and other wrestlers and so on that have an issue with it, because they go, you guys are just ripping off another brand. What about originality and all that? None of the fans give a shit about originality. They love what we're doing, and we're proving that by where we're getting booked, the exposure we're getting, the fan base that we have, and the size of the merchandise that we sell. So I appreciate your comment, Ange, but it's irrelevant because we've covered it. Thanks, love.
Yeah, I think we better ask Matt and Nick Jackson how they feel ripping off Razor Ramon and Big Daddy Cool.
Yeah. There you go.
Come on. We got to see. It's all relative here.
Exactly.
Here's me trying to be the peacemaker, and the damage is done.
There's no peace here, mate. It's full on war. I don't give a crap. Some people say, "Why do you have to defend the Bullet Club so much?" I don't. It doesn't need it. It speaks for itself. It's very simple as that. There's no defense needed, but I will certainly stand up for it if somebody puts some sort of a perverse comment that my 13-year-old son can read online and then comes to me and says, "Dad, why did they say that?" So I'll protect the brand as much as I need to obviously protect my children like no other. So I'm doing this for a bit of fun. I'm doing this so the fans have something to get excited about, as well as the Coyote and the Spaceman.
and the people involved in the group. You know, there's eight of us now that are involved, seven originals. Now we have somebody else that's here helping us out. We started this off as a group of friends that used to catch up and watch the pay-per-views at each other's homes and so on like that. And we had a group chat on Facebook where we just used to shoot the shit about pay-per-views and all sorts of stuff. Then I said one night, I said, we should name the group. What do you reckon? And we're throwing around some ideas. And then all of a sudden I've gone bullet. And I've gone, that's it. That's awesome. That's perfect. So the next step after naming a group like that is you've got to have a logo. Of course you've got to have a logo. So I screwed around with it. We come up with an original logo, which was close to what we have now. And then my boy Tom in Melbourne helped us tweak it. And it's what you see today, which is, mate, the fans love it because everyone's buying the T-shirt. And what's on the T-shirt? The logo.
Dude, sorry, but you won't believe this. I just went to check our Facebook post because I thought, I will see if there's any more questions here. And you know that thing where you go and you click on the comments of a post and then there'll be like a comment or two and then all of a sudden it'll just disappear? Like it was there, but then it was deleted. Yeah, there was a couple of those there from one Cameron Reed. Yes, I did see it. So too late, buddy. You're in trouble. And it was basically along the same lines of Andrew's question. So, but a little more blunt.
Cameron Reed, it's a pity that you deleted the comments or the questions, mate. You know, it's good to stand up for what you believe in and stand up for what you say, but when you delete it, it just makes you look like a pussy, bro.
That's it, man. You leave it up there, bro. That's it. That's it. Just leave it up there. And I know, you know, you wanted to get in on the gimmick. I appreciate you listening. There you go.
Mate, I'm not scared of anyone's comment. I'm not scared of anyone. I've been a bodyguard for 25 years. You know what that means? It means I have no fear of no one because I need to be able to protect the client. So if you want to say something, say it. You know, my back is huge. It'll run off it straight away, buddy.
And just quickly, because I forgot to touch on that earlier with the bouncing and security work that you've done. And, like, I mean, it's one of those things where if you're over the age of 18, at some point you've had an encounter, good or bad, with a bouncer, whether it's on the door of a nightclub or something like that. And that's the first thing that people sort of think of when they have a bad encounter or hear of one is that, oh, All bouncers are like this. They're all like that. I think there's a lot to be said for like the pressure that the hours that you guys work, and then of course you've always got to be on guard. You know what I mean? It's not sort of like another job where you might be able to take a fiver here and there. It's you're constantly on guard and constantly got to be ready for anything. Do you think that's just something that people need to sort of consider? Like that, yeah. People have a bad experience with one person who is of Muslim faith and then or Iranian, and all of a sudden all Muslims are this and that. Well, no, they're not. Most of them are very great people. You know what I mean? So
there's good and bad in every scenario, whether it's security, bodyguard work, religion, wrestling especially. There's good and bad throughout the whole lot. Jesus Christ, half the people don't know that I'm half Syrian and half Swedish. So there's a mix for you. I'm a little bit different on that side, but at the same time, it's who cares? There's good and bad in everything, you know. We've got bouncers that are absolutely atrocious that should never be working in the industry whatsoever. We've got people that claim to be wrestlers and think that they're the king of the state and so on like that, the king of whatever, that they have some talent, but they shouldn't have the ego. You know, they've got an ego the size of the Incredible Hulk with a body the size of Minnie Mouse. You've got people that support one religion, but then the other people within that religion blow stuff up. You can't paint the brush over everyone and say that person's just done that, so you're all like it. You're all shit because of that. It doesn't work that way. You know, the stigma of Queensland wrestling at the moment within the Australian indie wrestling scene, Queensland's the shittest state for wrestling. It's not great, but it's not that bad. There is some certain people that should not be involved in it. But having said that, there are some tremendous talent in there. Yeah, it's a very broad spectrum. It's very hard to make that statement.
And we did actually have one last question on the Facebooks here. I forget who it was from, though, so you have to excuse me there. But I believe it was, what is your lightest bench press. And I'm actually going to throw a dovetail in there. What is your heaviest and what's your favorite, kind of piggybacking off of shooters as well, what's your favorite sort of lift? Like the one that you go, gee, I'm glad it's, you know, arm day where I get to do shoulder. Like, what is it for you?
I saw that comment about the license bench, but it's from a Jesse someone. I can't remember.
Yes.
What sort of a stupid fucking question is that? Lightest bench press? What is the lightest bench press? What would you do? You grab a weight to warm up. What would you grab? The 40s, the 50s? I don't know. It depends on your physical stature and size and your strength. It doesn't really matter. My heaviest? Jesus, I can't remember what my heaviest used to be. I certainly don't lift heavy anymore. I'm 42 years old. I don't need to lift heavy anymore. I'm not going to get any bigger than what I am. Close to 130 kilos now, you know, 6'3", normally 6'5" in my wrestling boots. I don't need to get any bigger than I need to. All I need to do is maintain what I've got. And I think I've done a pretty good consistent job of that over the last 20, 25 years or whatnot. My favorite exercise in the gym, look, it doesn't matter what it is. It's as long as I go in there and I have a good session and I feel good when I leave and I don't hurt myself, you know. As long as I don't hurt myself when I wrestle, I don't hurt myself when I bodyguard, and I don't hurt myself when I'm in the gym, and I certainly don't hurt myself when I'm wrestling my two sons, it's a good day. That's all that matters.
And no injuries were suffered in the making of this podcast, as far as I'm aware.
Not yet, unless you step out of line.
Well, we're going to... Well, there might be place there fairly soon for that, but I'm going to get you to sort of give us an update on where the upcoming shows are besides Australian Wrestling All-Stars, which is, of course, July 23rd, the day after my birthday. So there we go. Please no hard birthday punches when we see you there.
How old are you? How many can you take?
Well, I don't know if I can take 32, but we'll see how we go. I mean, I'm looking forward to calling a match of yours again because the last, I guess, the only time I really got to call a match of yours as a commentator or ring announcer or anything like that was, it was Wright City Wrestling. I forget the year, but it was the Strength Cup tournament. Yep, and you wrestled Brad Smythe, and Brad Smythe got the win there, I believe, by DQ.
Yeah, the little shit cheated with the Eddie Guerrero chair thing.
He did. I'll tell you what, he's a cagey son of a gun.
But he didn't fare too well when I gorilla pressed him and threw him about 10 feet in the air, did he?
What was that experience like, just quickly, in RC Dub for you? Because it was really cool actually meeting you properly there and sort of, you know, you, of course, when people naturally see you for the first time, there's a little bit of that intimidation sort of factor. And then I'm like, well, gee, if you're cool, this guy's just a big teddy bear. He's a really cool dude.
It's a character.
I don't want to kill the gimmick, but you know.
No. Look, and I'm happy to say it. It's a character. That's all it is. And it's even when I'm doing bodyguard work, it's the same scenario. People look at you and go, "Shit, I'm not going near him." But that's my job. That's what I'm supposed to do. But like I said, it's a character, and if I can project that character to the people and they believe it to a certain extent, maybe until they talk to me and they meet me, well, then I've done my job. But RCW was sensational. That was the one time that I got to work with those guys. I love every single person that's involved with RCW. They put on an amazing production. It's one of the better ones that I've done. You know, EPW Adelaide was sensational when I was there. The Snake Pit was another one. I've worked everywhere. One of the best ones I've worked for is PCW Melbourne. Their production and their stadium, their venue, their studio, whatever you want to call it, is one of the best in the country. It's ridiculous, and hence why they've got contracts at the moment for Foxtel tapings on their show. And I've done two shows for them so far where I've wrestled, and they're both taped for Foxtel. There's tons. You've got AWA, you've got NHPW for Queensland, there's a lot that we do. We do Venom Pro Wrestling, we do UPW, BCW. There are some good ones around that are really trying to step up and make the industry better, but it's hard. It's quality control. You can only work with what you've got, to be honest.
And so back to the, I guess, where I started with that whole question, upcoming events besides AWA?
AWA is the 23rd, next weekend in Adelaide. August 20th, I've got BCW in Queensland, just off the top of my head. I'm sitting at my desk, but I don't know where my diary is. It's not in front of me here. So I'm sure there'll be other events. PCW, AWE in Sydney. There'll be plenty of coming. I hit every state and I take the Bullet Click with me, whether it's Spaceman, whether it's Coyote, whether it's both, whether they represent us and I'm not. I know that they're wrestling next weekend up in Queensland for EPW, whilst I'm down in Adelaide. And to me, that's a pretty cool thing. We've created a brand now where we can wrestle in two different states on the same night, sell our merch and get our name out there and get some media attention, get some photos and get some footage in two separate states at one time. You know, there's only other one group that I know of that can do that, and that's TDMK. And those boys are blitzing it as well. And it'd be interesting. Yeah, hey, look, TDMK versus the Bullet Clique, that would be an interesting scenario, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, and I like the fact that you've kind of teased the notion that there are several, not just the three of you, but several more members of the, I guess, the Bullet Clique that are just sort of just waiting to roll them out, just one by one, just sort of tease the wrestling public, and we'll find out in due course who they're going to be, because that's quite the tease.
There's four or five in the wings already, trust me, and they're ready to go. It's a matter of when I want to pull the trigger and release them.
Boom. Well, dude, I just want to thank you very much, Wayne, for having a yak with us. This has been really, really cool. Getting to learn more about you. And no holds barred. That's the way I like it here. Before you do go, let's get the final plugs out the way, where people can follow Bullet Click, especially on social media, and where people can get merch.
Yeah, look, merch can be sold at any live event that any one of the members of Bullet Click are at, or they can contact us through our Facebook. We have Facebook, Instagram, we have Twitter. I can't remember the handles off the top of my head. I wasn't prepared for that. Surely if you just write it in, it's certainly going to pop up. We're on all social media. We're extremely active on social media. That's part of our marketing and so on. We make sure that everyone gets to see where we are. You know, as soon as we arrive in a state for a show, there's a picture of either the Spaceman and Josh coming out of the airport, or me and Big Coyote, Josh, or vice versa. You know, we advertise so that people know where we are and they can come and see us. And that's the big part about it. And that's what some of the Australian wrestlers don't understand. It's about marketing. It's not about you turning up to a show in a woman's pair of tights or a pair of tap-out shorts or whatever like that and going out there claiming to be the best. And then that's it. That's where you leave it. You need to have merchandise to sell. You need to have pictures to sell. You need to interact with the crowd. You need to promote yourself online, not just take a selfie of yourself in a towel trying to show your abs off or something like that. Mm-hmm. You need to market it appropriately to the public on what they want to see and what they want to get out of it, what they want to spend their money on. It's as simple as that. It's very straightforward. You could be the best wrestler there is, but if you don't market yourself properly, even in the independent circuit like that, it's just not going to work. Very simple.
But not just yourselves, but a lot of folks at the moment that are following that pathway and really taking advantage of social media and the merchandising and the that sort of proprietary side of things. They're the ones that are really having a lot of success at the moment and getting a lot of opportunities that they maybe otherwise wouldn't. So very wise words.
TMDK do it perfectly with their T-shirts and so on. Mr. Juicy kills it with all of his social media and his T-shirts and so on. I hate to say it, even Shooter's doing a good job.
I know, it's tough to give Shooter the props, but sometimes, you know, he's just doing so good, you can't help it. You can't help it.
Oh, look, you know, he's earned the accolades and so on, and he's transformed his body into an absolute weapon, so I'll give him that.
All right, we're about to let you go. It is bucketing down with rain down here in Adelaide, so you up there with your tropical warm weather, your shorts and thongs.
Yeah, sucked in.
I can't think of a better way to end it than that. Wayne,
absolutely.
Maniac Wayne Maddie, thanks, dude. It's been great.
Thank you, mate. I appreciate the opportunity of being on your show. I really do. Thank you so much.
Gonna put some butts in the seat.
Hey, yo. Listen to me, man. If you want a podcast about WCW and the NWO, butts in seats, man.
And I noticed right here that Yokozuna's nose is legit the same width as his mouth. That's kind of nice that Bill Cosby looks at it and goes,
that right there is one gigantic motherfucker. fucking nose.
No.
Butts in seats, man. Other podcasts can't even get in the building, man.
Yes, and within the next week, the Butts in Seats Great American Bash Review 98. Great American Bash 98, that'll be out there for you to enjoy. And the show that you heard a promo for earlier, Shoot the Defense, on FNX.network, they actually hit the number one spot in the UK sports podcast charts on iTunes. So shout out to Stell and Leon and the whole crew over there. Really good stuff. If you're a fan of soccer or football, as the Poms say, then go and check it out. Big thank you to Wayne the Maniac, Maddie, for joining me here on the show. If you enjoyed what you heard, please do share it with your mates on Facebook, Twitter. Get it out there, folks, to more people. We'd really appreciate that. Leave us a rating and a review on iTunes, a little comment wherever you found it. That'd be great as well. Hit us up on Twitter at WrestleRadioAU or on Facebook, just search Wrestle Radio Australia. Gotta thank Thunderstag for our theme song, WrestleMerch printing for our cover art, FNX.network for getting behind the show, and also don't forget to check out the Axecast, also coming out the same time as this episode with Mike Altamura, boxing manager, wrestling agent, and he and Josh Shooter get into a lot of behind-the-scenes topics that you don't really hear talked about much. So, really good one there. And be sure to pop along if you're in Adelaide, July 23rd, to Australian Wrestling All-Stars. That's where the tournament kicks off. Elliot Sexton has been announced for that one. Also, Wayne the Maniac Maddie, our guest today. That'll be great. I'll be calling the action with the Wolfdog and Paul Roberts. Of course, Luke Hazard on the ring announcing duties. And there's plenty more names to be announced for the Champions League season. So head over to the Australian Wrestling All-Stars Facebook page. That's where it's all happening. All right, it is time to bail. Not sure what's coming up over the next couple of weeks on WRA, but we do have Axecast. And if you haven't heard our previous episodes, go back into the archive and enjoy a few eps. My name's Josh Armour. Peace out. Catch you later. We will see you next time. Don't forget Axecast with Mike Altamura. It's a beauty. Peace.
Saints and sinners, lovers and losers, cuts and run wild with the hounds of hell. Brothers and sisters, show no mercy. Kiss your sons and your daughters goodbye. Been there, done that, heard it all before. Chewed up and spit out, we won't take no more. Friday, every night's a Saturday night.
Here's where the action is. Here's where the action is.
Give me a pizza and a beer, I'll be happy. I don't give a shit.